Well, a few weeks ago was the 17-year remembrance of the first September 11th. And if you were alive and aware of what was happening at that time, it's one of those experiences that you know exactly where you were when you heard. You know exactly what you were doing when you heard what had happened. And if you remember back to that day, that Tuesday morning, wasn't there a moment in time when we thought that a terrible accident had taken place, and that's all it was, as bad as that is? Reports were coming in of an airplane accidentally crashing into one of the towers, and we thought that's a terrible tragedy, and it's one of several terrible tragedies we hear about and kind of moving on with our day. But then when that second tower was hit, like in that instant, everything changed. Because all of a sudden we realized this wasn't just a random accident. This was deliberate. And all of us have seen the video footage of that airplane deliberately crashing right into that tower. And in that moment, all of a sudden, we came to the stark realization that we were under attack. That there was a battle going on that we had been completely unaware of until that moment. And Secretary of State at that time, Condoleezza Rice, said it this way: the terrorists were at war with us, but we were not at war with them. And she's absolutely right. There was a battle going on that we were completely unaware of until that moment in time. And that moment of realization, that sudden awareness that something has been going on behind the scenes that we didn't know, that we were completely unaware of, that sudden realization, it's a parable of our lives spiritually as well. Because the truth is, we are at war. But far too many believers are completely unaware of the fact that we are at war. We assume that we're just kind of living our lives. We're just going through our days. And yeah, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes unfortunate things take place. Sometimes sickness happens. Sometimes anxiety and depression take place. Sometimes there's addiction. Sometimes there's temptation. And we sometimes do things that we know we shouldn't do. And that's just kind of life. We just kind of roll within it. It's just kind of part of our everyday lives. But the truth is that we are under attack. We are at war. And much of what we experience isn't just some random event. Much of what we experience is not just some airplane accidentally crashing into a building. It's deliberate. It's a deliberate act of war. It's a deliberate attack from an enemy who is very powerful and is absolutely hell-bent on our destruction. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 5:8. He says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Peter is writing to believers. He's writing to Christians, and he's saying, wake up. You need to be aware. You need to be on your guard because you are being hunted by a powerful enemy. There is an enemy who despises you, and he is prowling around looking for someone who is vulnerable, who he can attack and destroy. Paul talks about this as well, and one example is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, where he says this: "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Over and over again in the scripture, we are given warnings. Why? Because we're at battle, and we need to be aware of it. Over and over in the scriptures, we're told that God has provided us with weapons. Why? Because we're in a battle, and we need to be prepared for that battle. And Paul tells us in these verses that this battle, it's not against flesh and blood enemies. It's against spiritual forces. There are spiritual forces of darkness, of wickedness, that are at work in our lives. In other words, your spouse is not your enemy. Your kids are not your enemy. Your parents are not your enemy. That neighbor that gets on your nerves is not your enemy. That person that cut you off when you were in a hurry to get somewhere and you had to slam on the brakes, they're not your enemy. That person that disagrees with you politically is not your enemy. Your boss, your employees, your coworkers, they are not your enemies. Our enemy is the one the Bible calls Satan, the devil, the accuser, the adversary. He is our enemy. He is the serpent who tempted Eve in the garden so long ago. He is the devil who tempted Jesus in the wilderness thousands of years later. He is the liar who Jesus said came to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is the adversary who opposes us and opposes God's work in our lives. And Paul reminds us there is something going on behind the scenes in the spirit realm that we cannot see with our physical eyes, but it is just as real as what we can see with our physical eyes. Now, most of you who have been coming here for a while know a little bit of my background, and you know that I grew up in a Christian home. And so I was always taught the reality of Satan and demons. And I always believed it kind of, but in a distant, far away kind of belief. That, yes, I believed that it happened back then. The stories about Jesus casting out demons and the stories of the supernatural happening in the Bible. Yes, I believe that that happened then. I believe that it actually did happen. And yes, sometimes it happens today, but far away from where we live. We would hear stories of missionaries who would come and tell us about places where they were telling people about Jesus who had never heard the name of Jesus, and they were worshiping false gods, and they would tell us stories about these supernatural demonic events that they saw themselves. And I believed that that was real, that they were telling the truth, that it happens today in those places. And I think my view of spiritual warfare for a long time was similar to how most believers view spiritual warfare, that it's interesting to talk about, but it's not really relevant to me. It doesn't really affect me personally, so it's kind of held at a distance. That all changed my first year of college. My first year of college, I experienced firsthand the reality of the spirit world. I went to Berry College for my first year. It's in Rome, Georgia, and for some reason, that campus, for a long time, had been a hotbed of demonic activity. And there were a lot of unusual things happening on that campus. I have close friends who are strong believers who I trust and believe, and they shared with me stories of things that they saw and things that they experienced that could not be explained apart from the supernatural, could not be explained apart from the demonic. And there were certain places on campus where there was just this ominous presence. Have you ever had the experience of all of a sudden you feel like somebody's watching you? You ever have that? You're completely alone and all of a sudden you feel like, I'm not alone. There's somebody watching me. And you can't see them. And it just creeps you out, right? And you just kind of get those cold chills and it's like, what is going on? There were certain places on campus that every time you were in those places or walked past those places, you would feel that. And it didn't matter if you were alone or with a group of people. It didn't matter if it was day or night. There were certain places where there was just this presence that you could sense. You couldn't see it, but you could tell there's something here that I can't see with my physical eyes. While I was there, I met and developed a friendship with someone who became a close friend. And when she was in high school, she had been deeply involved with Dungeons and Dragons. And if you're not aware of what that is, it's a role-playing fantasy game that delves very deeply into the occult. And her view of that game was similar to how most people view things like astrology and horoscope and Ouija boards and seances, that it's just harmless fun. There's nothing to it. It's just playing a game. It's interesting and fascinating, but there's really nothing going on. And the reality is there is a dark reality behind those things. There are spiritual forces at work through those things. And when we engage in those kind of things, we are opening a door into our lives for the enemy to walk through. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks, because there's a lot of things that in our culture we think are just kind of harmless fun, but they do that. They open an opportunity for the enemy to come in and to do a work in our lives. And that's exactly what my friend experienced. So you take that background of her being heavily involved with that game and then bring it into this setting where there was all this spiritual warfare that was very blatant that was happening. All of a sudden, she started having some really negative experiences. She started having suicidal impulses. She started having these terrifying nightmares. There were times when she heard an audible voice when there was nobody around. And on one occasion, she saw these grotesque faces appearing outside of a third-story window. I believe demon possession is real. It's not somebody's imagination. It's not a psychological disorder. It is a very real thing. In the Gospels, we read about Jesus casting out demons, and I don't think that that's the Bible telling us its version of a psychological disorder. I think Jesus literally drove demons out of people who were inhabited by those demons. And I believe that they are just as alive and active today in people's lives as they were then. And they are just as alive and active in people's lives here as they are in other countries where people have never heard of Jesus. I've seen it myself. This friend that I told you about, I heard her speak in a voice that was not her own. I watched as she threw a convulsive fit of such strength that seven people could not restrain her. But what did restrain her was a simple command, in Jesus' name, stop. And all of a sudden, it stopped. And one night at her request, several of us as believers spent a time of intense prayer with her, about an hour and a half or so. And we drove out those demons that had been infesting her life. And that night she was set free from the power of darkness. And today she is a follower of Christ and she is serving him. Now I share that with you not to freak you out, but to awaken you to the reality that there is a battle going on. And it's very real. And it does affect our lives. Sometimes we're not aware of it, but it's happening all around us. You and I were born into a world at war. And whether we realize it or not, we are in the middle of that war. We are at the center of that battle. And the more I look at the scriptures, the more I study the Bible, the more I ask the question, how do we miss it? How are we not aware of this? How are we not convinced that this is really happening? Because the reality of spiritual warfare, it's embedded in the scriptures from cover to cover. I mean, think about it. The story begins with Eve being tempted by the devil himself in the Garden of Eden. That's how the story starts. And it ends with that same devil being cast into the lake of fire where he will be punished for eternity. Spoiler alert, that's how the story ends. That's the good news. We'll get there in a few weeks. But that's Genesis and that's Revelation. And everything in between, all the stuff we read about in the scriptures from cover to cover, all of it happens in the context of this great battle that you and I are a part of. In fact, do you realize that spiritual warfare is even a part of the Christmas story? John Eldridge, in his book, Wild at Heart, points out that even in the Christmas story, there's more going on behind the scenes than we're aware of. Here's what he writes. Most of you probably have a nativity scene that you take out over the holidays and place on a mantle or coffee table. Most of these scenes share a regular cast of characters: shepherds, wise men, a few barnyard animals, Joseph, Mary, and of course the baby Jesus. Ours has an angel too, and I imagine yours does as well. And that's about as far as the supernatural gets for us. And what's the overall mood of the scene? Don't they all have sort of a warm atmosphere to them? Kind of a quiet, intimate feel like the one you get when you sing Silent Night or Away in a Manger. And while that's all very true, it's also very deceiving because it's not a full picture of what's really going on. For that, you have to turn to Revelation 12. And then he cites Revelation 12, the first four verses, and here's what it says. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. So we have a story here of a woman about to give birth and a dragon wanting to destroy the child as soon as it's born. Have you ever heard anybody tell that part of the Christmas story? That even in the Christmas story, there's a spiritual battle going on. That when Jesus entered this world physically, this was not Silent Night. This was an invasion. This was the King of Kings entering into another kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, to do battle with our enemy. Now, as part of the Christmas story, we also talk about the wise men. And so we know bits and pieces of some really dark stuff that did happen as well, because a couple of years after the birth of Christ, wise men come looking for him with gifts to worship him. And they ask King Herod how to find him, and Herod finds out, and so Herod wants Jesus dead. Mary and Joseph are warned in a dream about Herod wanting to kill Jesus, and so they take Jesus and they go into hiding and they flee to Egypt and he is rescued. But remember, so we know that part of the story, right? Herod wants to kill Jesus, but again, remember, there's more going on than what we can see with our eyes. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6 that what looks like a battle of flesh and blood, there's more to it than that. There is a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. And so in Revelation 12, the next few verses, verses 13 and 14 tell us the dragon pursued the woman wanting to kill her child, but she was rescued by God and the baby was protected. Kind of sounds like Herod chasing Jesus, wanting to kill him, and him being rescued by his parents and God's intervention. Again, while Herod is opposing Jesus and trying to kill him, there's another force at work behind the hand of Herod. See, you and I live in two parallel worlds. The one that we can see with our eyes, it's in the Christmas story, it consists of things like shepherds and sheep and a hillside and a manger and Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Those are the things we can see and hear and touch. But the other world, the one that we can't see but is just as real, well, that one consists of angels and demons engaged in this epic battle that you and I are at the center of but largely unaware of. And again, Paul says that our fight is not against flesh and blood. There's something else going on here that we are not always tuned into. And so beyond our everyday struggles and sicknesses and anxiety and depression and addiction and temptation and opposition and frustration, behind all of that, there is a very real enemy at work in all of those things, one that we rarely speak of and far too seldom resist. But this is where we live. We live on the front lines of a fierce battle that has eternal consequences. And it is this battle that is to blame for all of the evil, for all of the injustice, for all of the sickness, for all of the oppression, for all of the destroyed lives that we see all around us on a daily basis. We are at war. And so in 2 Corinthians 2, Paul says, you know what? There are certain things you need to do. There are certain tools you need to put to work in your life to make sure you're not deceived by this enemy. And then he writes these words, for we are not unaware of his schemes. That's the goal of this series. That's what I want to accomplish as we go through this series over the next several weeks. To make us aware, to equip us, to make sure that we are not duped, deceived, unaware of the reality of our enemy and the work he's doing in our lives, and to make sure that we are equipped to do battle with him so we can walk in the victory that Christ has made available to us. I want to close with a couple of paragraphs I came across from an author named Marcus Warner. He's written extensively about spiritual warfare, and he sums up what I wanted to communicate today very well with these words. He says, spiritual warfare is not an optional activity for believers. It's not a program in the church you can sign up for or choose to ignore. You haven't been granted immunity or vaccinated against the effects of the devil by an injection of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, we live in a world at war, and we have no choice in the matter. We were born into the middle of a great cosmic conflict that affects every area of our lives. As followers of Christ, we really only have two options. We can live in fear and ignorance, or we can learn to fight. Where in the Bible does it say, just ignore the devil and he'll leave you alone? Nowhere. It warns us repeatedly, be alert, be prepared, put on your armor, resist. These are not passive words. We are called to be intentional and diligent in preparing ourselves for battle. And so it's time for the church to wake up to the reality of this war and to prepare for battle. So that's what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. We're going to talk more about what the enemy is up to, how he attacks, what we can do to fight back, what we can do to walk in victory. Because the truth is, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. Victory is already ours. But far too often, we're not aware of that or how to walk in the reality of that victory. And so that's where we're headed over the next few weeks. Yes.
Just to make you aware and to ask for prayer too, and not to freak people out or to think, oh, we can't fight against this, but in previous churches where David has preached on this series, we have been attacked as a family with sickness, with a lot of things happening. So I would ask over these next few weeks that you would pray for us as a family and our home, but also be aware, Satan knows you attend church. He's not stupid. Be aware of that. Not be afraid, but be aware that over these next few weeks, he may try to discourage you. He may try to things in your head or whatever. Well, you don't need to go to church this morning, or you don't need to pray, or you don't need to encourage your neighbor, or whatever your case might be. And I thought of that this morning, that I got a text at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. this morning from Dan and Danielle. Maybe this wasn't an attack, but she was to do nursery. They're involved in our church. It was the only, he's been working on Sundays, was able to attend. Their dog woke up and was vomiting blood. And so they've been at the vet all evening. Was it an attack? I don't know, and I'm not like there's a demon behind every corner, but she was not able to be here. And so I'd like us to pray for them, but just be aware of that while we are going through this series, that whether it's Halloween and we're reaching out to people, our anniversary we're celebrating, just things like that, the enemy does not want us to continue what we are doing here and then also here in this town. But I want to say that as well, is if you feel you're under attack over these next few weeks, please don't hold that in, or please don't feel like David and I or an elder will think you're crazy or freaking out. We are very much aware of that. So please reach out to your elder or to us or to each other, and please just ask for prayer. It's okay to do that. We need to be praying for each other and for family units. He may attack a marriage here. He may attack relationships. I don't know, but I know he's done it in the past. And it's discouraged us, but we picked up the sword and we fought. And so I just want you to be aware of that, but not to be afraid of it, because God is so much stronger than that.
Yeah, thank you. Good word. Yeah, and that's why I wore this shirt today, Fear is a Liar. Because my goal is not.
I want that shirt.
Yeah, I want that shirt too. That's awesome. Because I don't want any of us to walk out of here in fear, because that's not the point. Because if we do, then we're kind of giving in to what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to be fearful. He wants us to be anxious and worried and all that kind of stuff. We walk in victory. And so that's what the focus is going to be. My goal today is to make us aware that this happens. And so, like Sheila said, if you're going through something, and it just let somebody know, just say, hey, there's some stuff going on right now. Would you pray for me right now? Would you encourage me? You know, the weekend before we launched this church, our basement was flooded, just like this freak thing, just all of a sudden. And it threw me off, and I got frustrated and angry, and it totally consumed my focus for about a day or so. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, wait, I recognize this. I know where this is coming from. So being aware that we're in a battle shouldn't cause us to fear, but it should cause us to recognize when those kind of things happen, when an attack happens, that we recognize, okay, wait, this isn't just a random thing. This was an airplane being deliberately flown into my tower. This is somebody deliberately attacking me to sidetrack me, to prevent me from doing what God has called me to do. And so I'm going to resist it, and I'm going to walk in the victory Christ has purchased for me. So that's where we're headed over the next few weeks. So God, I want to thank you that you make us aware. I thank you that you spell out for us very clearly in your word what we are facing and what we are up against. You've given us warnings and reminders, but beyond that, you have equipped us with weapons so that we can stand firm and so that we can walk in victory. And God, I thank you that we fight not for victory, but from victory that has already been won on our behalf. And so I pray that you'll help us this week to walk in that victory, the victory you have purchased for us at such a high price. Help us to be a people whose eyes are wide open, and help us to be a people who are actively advancing your kingdom, your will, and your purposes, and not allowing ourselves to be intimidated or sidetracked in any way by the work of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.